Well, let me once again just welcome all of you to Fellowship Church and welcome you to our time of worship and our time of preaching and teaching the Word of God. Those of you that are joining us online, also welcome. We're glad that you can be here and a part of our service, not in person, but at least being able to join us through the live stream is certainly something that we're glad to be able to provide. And I've wanted to say for some time to those of you who have not been able to come and join us due to just with the pandemic and what's been happening with COVID, we just want you to know that we miss you. We know that you are with us in spirit, and we do very much look forward to having you back here here with us again. I'm going to be continuing a series that I started a few weeks ago, Social Justice and the Gospel. And this is certainly something that has been very prevalent in our culture and very relevant to us, and it's why we're talking about it. And I certainly hope that it has been helpful and fruitful for you, not just to learn about what's happening in our culture and in our society, but also to help us live, understand it biblically from a biblical framework. Today, I'm going to be talking about truth as we continue to move on in this series. And as I've been preparing and reading and studying, in my view, this may be the most important message of the entire series. And I think that's just the case when you're talking about the subject of truth. When Jesus himself says, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me," then I think you would assume that a message on truth is going to carry some level of significance and importance. I don't know if you remember, it was, I think, the week before the presidential election, I shared the message, "Ideas Matter." We talked about ideas, and I think you're going to see today, as we go through this, that ideas really matter. The ideas about truth that are rampant in our society today, they've literally changed how people think. It's changed how people live, and it's changed how people behave. And what we're seeing right now is that how and what people believe about truth is literally shaping our world. And that's why we took time to talk about how important ideas are and how we need to respond to them. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. In early February, the Oregon Department of Education sent out a newsletter explaining how to dismantle racism in mathematics. And again, I'm bringing this up from the subject of truth. And they explained that education, which focuses on the right answer in mathematics, is a symbol of white supremacy. And they're saying that the idea of objective answers needs to be dismantled. And so in this newsletter, teachers are encouraged in mathematics to allow their students to come up with at least two answers to solve mathematical problems. More than that is even better. And they encourage teachers to challenge the notion that there is one right answer when solving a mathematical problem. Now, I'm bringing this up to you not to look at this as an isolated incident. But again, I really hope this comes through today, that this is happening because of ideas that have been taught, practiced, and are now in our society widely accepted to the point that it's infiltrating every area of our lives. Certainly, education is one of them. This really is social justice doctrine really being carried out. Another example of what is happening in this area is what's happening in churches as well. That's an example of education. I want to share a tweet from Grace Point Church, and I saw this from some of you as well, I think just over the weekend, but I had already had it in the message, so it seemed to be tracking with many of you. But here's what they've tweeted. As progressive Christians, we're open to the tensions and inconsistencies in the Bible. We know that it can't live up to impossible modern standards. Just should stop you in your tracks. Really? It can't. We strive to more clearly articulate what the Bible is and isn't. That's a truth statement. And then they posted this image here, of what'll come on the screen here, of what the Bible is and isn't. And you can't really probably see the picture that they posted on Twitter. But what they said the Bible is, as you can see, is they said it's a product of community. It's a library of texts. It's multivocal. I'm not exactly sure what that means, but I have an idea. It's a human response to God, and it's living and dynamic. So that's what the Bible is. And then they also put right next to it what it isn't. The Bible is not the Word of God. It's not self-interpreting. It's not a science book. It's not an answer rule book. And it is not inerrant, and it is not infallible. And this is a church with a cross on top, identifying as Christians, gathering for worship on Sundays. And I don't want you to look at this and say, wow, I can't believe that's happening. You know, what's wrong with them? What I want you to do is instead see that they're just doing the natural consequence and result of ideas that have permeated every area of our lives, which we would be foolish to think that is not going to eventually include the church. Because this is an example of an idea related to truth. It's rooted in a postmodern belief system that has taken hold in our society. And if you don't understand that, if you don't understand that right there, then you're really never going to understand what's happening in the world. You're going to always look at what's happening. You're going to read a headline. You're going to read a social media post, and you're going to say something like, I can't believe it. Or I can't believe that. Or what's wrong with them? And you're never going to come to the understanding that these are the result of ideas that have taken hold, taken root. And so what I want to talk about today is some of these ideas to help you understand it, but also so that we can combat it. These are not isolated examples. They are evidences of a massive change that is happening in our country and in our world. And one foundational reason that it is happening is because of what's happened to the understanding about truth or of truth. And again, we can't fight this by complaining about it. We can't fight it by pretending that it's not happening. We must defeat the idea. We must expose the lie. And you need to know how to spot it. And I hope that part of what we do today and what we're doing today will help you to do that. So I'm going to pray and just ask God to lead us as we do this. Lord, we are mindful that you have placed us in a world to live in. And all around us, there are competing ideas with the idea that Scripture has taught us. Lord, you have said we are exiles, we are strangers, we are aliens in this world. But Lord, you've also said that we need to live a certain way, which means we need to understand what is happening around us biblically. Help us to do that. Help today's message do that. Help the truth that we're going to talk about do that. Lord, may we be a people committed to the truth of God above all else. Help us to do that. Help us to even humble ourselves before you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I'm going to start by giving you the state of truth in American society today. It's kind of what I'm calling it. It's happening in other countries as well, but again, my focus is what's happening here. And then I'm going to move into scripture so that we can see the contrast between how the world understands truth and how God has revealed truth. And this initial part here is going to be a little bit academic, and I'm gonna challenge you right up front to stay with me on it, because I want to help you understand what's happening in the world around you. I want you parents to understand why your kids come home, your teenagers come home from school with questions about things that they're hearing, your college students, or even for some of you parents, it's all, your kids are in their 20s and 30s and they're asking these questions or maybe coming to you. You need to understand what's happening to your kids, to your grandkids. And so, again, I want to encourage you to stay with me. But as we go through this, remember, I want you to remember something. I want you to remember what Jesus said. So I'm going to put it here on the screen for you to see. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth. You will know the truth. And the truth will what? Set you free. And so we need to keep that as a context, even as we go through some of these things. So I'm going to start with objective or absolute truth as the first area that I want to talk about. Objective or absolute truth. Postmodernism is basically the water that you are swimming in every day. Whether you realize it or not, you might go, I don't really know, Pastor. I don't need to know anything about postmodernism. That's confusing stuff. But it's the water you're swimming in every day. It's the air you're breathing. It's all around you. And so we do need to understand it from the perspective of how do we understand biblically then to live in this world around us? Well, postmodernism is defined by something. It's defined by a radical skepticism about the accessibility of objective truth. Just the idea that objective truth is even accessible, they're radically skeptical of it. And so it means that postmodern thinkers are extremely skeptical about the notion of objective truth just being attainable. In postmodernism, there's a belief called cultural constructionism. Sometimes it's called social constructionism. And you won't probably hear that term, but you'll hear the idea. And it teaches this: all claims to truth are constructs of culture. All claims to truth, which includes Christians' claims to truth, are just constructs of culture. And so what they're teaching our kids is that people are so tied to their cultural framework that any truth claims they make are nothing other than representations of those cultural frameworks. So they're biased. A truth claim is essentially biased in the eyes of a postmodern thinker. So, for example, they would say that if you believe the earth orbits the sun, it's not because it's objective truth. You don't believe that because you can objectively say that's true. You believe that because of the way that you have established truth in your particular culture, in the way you grew up. And they're saying the same thing about the scientific method. Yes, the scientific method. They're saying right now, that's just one cultural approach among many. And they're saying it is as corrupted by biased reasoning as any other method that you would choose to use. Now, we need to think about what that means. Now, when it comes to ideological social justice, you need to know and you need to understand that the idea of objective truth, it does not exist. within the framework of ideological social justice. There are only two things they're concerned about, not truth, certainly not objective truth, certainly not absolute truth, but they are concerned with perspectives and interpretations. Your perspective and your interpretation, that's what matters, not any kind of absolute objective truth. Nancy Piercy, who's a Christian author, a professor, and apologist, she said the following. She says, truth has been redefined as a social construction. There it is. She's understanding this. So that every community has its own view of truth based on what? Its experience and perspective. And here's the other caveat, which we're going to get to. It cannot be judged by anyone outside that group. If you're not in that group, you have no ability to make a judgment on those who have truth defined within their own group. So this is what is happening, the mindset that is in our world and certainly within our country right now. Now, it goes further. It would be one thing if the only problem with the social justice doctrine was its rejection of objective truth. That's problematic, of course, but they go much further than that. And where they go is they demonize those who actually seek objective truth. So it's one thing to reject it, but now it's another to say, well, if you're going to seek it, then I'm going to identify you as a certain kind of person. And so basically what's happened is this: to demand evidence from someone engaged in social justice ideology, in their view, if you're talking to them, in their view, if you say, hey, I need to, you know, I'll believe what you say, but give me some evidence. If you've been frustrated by answers you've received, here's why. It's because they see that as you asking them to participate with you in a corrupted system of discourses and knowledge that they see as built by just powerful groups that value those specific approaches. So they're not going to engage. They're basically seeing you as asking them to participate in this corrupt system with you, and they won't do it. Do you see how both genius and also devious this is? And so here's what happens. Those who seek to uncover truth are portrayed, you're castigated as oppressors and as those who oppose what? True justice. But what we're seeing is that it is justice without truth. Because truth within the entire framework, objective truth, is rejected. It's part of the foundation. They go even further than that. The very notion of objective truth, reason. So truth, objective truth, reason, logic, evidence, argument. These are, for a very long time, these things that I just described have been part of how we arrive at truth. Reason, logic, evidence, argument. Those are now described as weapons of violence. If you use those, if you say if you're going to appeal to these, it is a weapon of violence, and it's a weapon of violence employed by oppressors, and you're using it for one reason. You're using it because you're trying to keep yourself in power. You're not really pursuing truth. These are ideas that have taken hold. That's why you're seeing what you're seeing. Another example that gives evidence to this is in 2017, a group of college students from Pomona College in California, they wrote a letter to the president of the college, and they demanded that the mission of the school be changed. Now, why did they do that? Well, they did that because the mission of the school stated that the school exists to help students pursue truth. And these students said that needs to change because the search for truth is nothing other than an attempt to silence marginalized people. And then they wrote this. They wrote the idea, and I'll put it up on the screen here. They wrote the idea that there is a single truth. The truth is a construct of the Euro West. Where are they getting this from? It was what they were taught. It was an idea that's been manifested now. And now they're living it out. And then they say this construction is a myth. This is what I described earlier as cultural constructionism. Don't scoff at the power of ideas. Because these students are just taking ideas they've been taught and they are putting them into practice. And my guess is that many of you that are sitting here have probably heard these ideas taught. Parents, go home, talk to your kids, ask them, have you heard some of these ideas? The things that the pastor was talking, have you ever heard that talked about in your school, your high school, your college classroom? My guess is they will. Maybe not described in these terms, but the ideas will be there. And this is why we don't play around with bad biblical, unbiblical ideas. Because they take hold. Now, that's the first area of objective truth. I want to move now to the second area I want to cover. I hope you're still with me. I know this is getting into some academic stuff here, but I hope it's also helpful. Second area I want to talk about is epistemology. And you're thinking, what is that? What do we even need to talk about that? Well, I want you to understand this because it's an important part of this idea. Epistemology is basically the study of knowledge. It's how we, the term we use to talk about the study of truth, the study of knowledge, how we, the origin of knowledge, the nature of knowledge, the scope of knowledge, how we get there. Michel Foucault, who's a late French philosopher, he's also the author of The Order of Things, which came out in 1966. And so again, ideas that have taken hold and taken years to kind of manifest. Well, he adopted the position that there are no fundamental principles by which to discover truth. In other words, there's no one way. And then he said that all knowledge, all truth is local to the knower. In other words, the truth doesn't really come from outside in. It comes from inside out. It starts here. You can think about the many problems that would be for us. But this was what he taught. And this was we would call this his episteme. His dominant set of ideas and values. How he understands the acquisition of knowledge. Now, whether you realize this or not, as a Christian, you have an episteme. You have an understanding of how knowledge and truth is acquired. We're going to get to that in a little bit. But when it comes to understanding ideological social justice, there is also an episteme, how they understand truth to be acquired. Because if they're rejecting objective truth, then they have to have another way. And social justice ideology holds to what is called standpoint epistemology. Now, you may never have heard that. You don't necessarily need to know the term, but you do need to spot it when you see it. And I guarantee you're seeing it. You might not know it was called that, but it is. And standpoint epistemology can be defined this way. The greater a group's experience of intersectional oppression, the greater its members' insight into truth, into reality. So what this means is this. The more intersectional oppression you have, and intersectional just basically means what category of group you belong to. The more categories of groups you belong to that are oppressed, the more insight you have to truth, the less of those groups you belong to, the further away you are to ever being able to understand truth. So, a white male in your 50s, who's a Christian, heterosexual, with kids. Those kids might all be Christians, heterosexual. You have no ability to know truth. You're so far removed from the oppressed categories that according to standpoint epistemology, you even saying you have truth is nothing other than an example of your desire to hold privilege. So you may have heard that, but maybe what you didn't understand are the ideas that support it. What does this mean now? What does this lead to? Well, I want to give you three claims of standpoint epistemology. One is knowledge or truth is socially situated. In other words, you learn truth, but the way you get it is through social situations. Again, it doesn't come from outside in. It kind of just comes from within. Second, the reality or truth of the marginalized groups, which would also be the oppressed groups, is superior to the reality of dominant groups, which would be the oppressors. And third, reality or truth should only be understood from the perspective of the marginalized. So these claims here of standpoint epistemology, you can see the problems they create for Christians who are going into the world to say, hey, I have truth. They're going, no, you don't. You see why? Because you've basically violated every one of these claims right with that statement. And you can see the massive problems with this approach. And again, here's what I want again to remind you. This is how truth is being determined in our society today, right now. Years ago, we could have, you know, in the 80s or the 70s or even in the maybe early 90s, we might have said, you know, we're getting there. This is where we're going. Pastors might have been saying, hey, if we don't stop this, this is where we're going. We're here. We're not going there. We're here. This is how truth is being determined in society today. Now, the New York Times recently, I don't know if you saw this, but the New York Times recently suggested that President Biden appoint a reality czar. I don't know if you saw that article. What they called it is a truth commission. I don't know if you heard that, but you could look that story up. Don't look it up now. I'm watching. Look it up later. But they wanted him to consider this idea, and here's what they said. Create a centralized task force to coordinate a single strategic response to misinformation. Someone in charge of what is true. Now, you should hear that and think, okay, based on what we talked about today, my first question is, what will their epistemology be? In other words, how will they understand the acquisition of truth? Because however they understand that will determine what is true. My expectation is that if a reality czar, which that term alone should scare you, is appointed, they will be using standpoint epistemology, which is the epistemology of the land, which is inherently designed to what? Reject objective truth. Reject it completely. Producing anything but what? Reality. Think about this. This is, again, not what's coming, it's what's here. Now to the third area that I want to discuss related to this, the relationship between truth and power. Stay with me. Stay with me. The relationship between truth and power. In postmodern social justice ideology, there is a direct connection between power and truth. It's known as what's sometimes referred to as the postmodern political principle. And it says that power is the guiding and structuring force in all society. And this principle, you need to understand, it fuels the social justice train. Social justice ideology understands power as the determining factor of what is true and what is moral. Not just true, but what is moral. And so in social justice ideology, whoever has the power has the ability to define truth. But again, it's standpoint epistemological truth, not objective truth. And this fascination with power has led to objective truth being practically erased from the social landscape. That's what we're seeing happening around us. Now, when objective truth is removed, something takes its place, right? It's the way things work. So if objective truth is being removed, what we are seeing now within this framework of social justice ideology is that narrative has taken its place. In social justice ideology, narratives are basically man-made stories that reduce very complex, very multifaceted realities and truths. And what they do is they break them down into oversimplified black and white issues. And I don't mean that from a race standpoint, but more just black and white issues and evil and good. Everything for that is kind of zero sum. Narratives are meant to describe reality, but they're not based on objective truth because they've already rejected that. They're driven by political agendas. And here's what happens with narratives. Narratives typically have within social justice ideology, it's kind of part of the doctrine, to have a narrative, you need two characters. You need a villain and you need a victim. And if you're on the side of social justice, you must be on the side of the narrative victim and you must oppose the narrative villain. Those are the rules. And that's how it works. But objective truth is not the aim. It's not the goal. The agenda is the goal. And you can again see the problems that this creates. And another effect of the narrative is something that I referred to before as virtue signaling. And this is when you proclaim your loyalty to the social justice order by publicly supporting who? The narrative victim. And publicly shaming the narrative villain. And this is part of the religious order that you must do. If you buy into this, you have to buy in to the narrative story, and in vilifying the narrative villain and in supporting the narrative victim. And biblically speaking, I would say, and I don't have time to go into this, but virtue signaling would most resemble what I would see as Pharisaic hypocrisy, caring about what is on the outside and ignoring the heart, which Jesus condemned in Mark 7. When the Pharisees were trying to do this, they were trying to virtue signal in front of the people, and Jesus called it out. But again, objective truth is not even on the radar. Okay, so that's a lot. You're all here. I hope you're tracking with that. Now I want to contrast this with Christ's view of truth. And the real truth, which I get much more excited about talking about. John chapter 18, the passage that was just read for us. If you could look in your Bibles, and it'd also be here on the screen, John 18. I want to repeat it because it's been a while and I've said a lot since then. But then Pilate said to him, this is Jesus before Pilate, verse 37. So you are a king. Jesus answered, you say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, for this purpose I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth, listens to my voice. And Pilate said to him, what is truth? So Pilate's our first postmodern. Pilate, the postmodern. What is truth? So what I want to do is give you proof that the biblical view of truth is completely incompatible with the social justice ideology that we just went over. I have four reasons for that, four evidences of biblical truth. First one is this: there is objective, absolute truth. His name is Jesus. You can't be any more clear than what he said to Pilate. Pilate, for this purpose I was born. For this purpose, I've come into the world. I've come here to bear witness to the truth. And in John 14, he already said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And so Jesus is making something very clear here. There is absolute objective truth. In fact, it's why he was born. His purpose in coming was to bear witness to the truth. So yes, To postmoderns out there, there is objective truth. Your creator said so. Objective truth is not a figment of your imagination. It is real and true. And the clearest demonstration of truth that the world has ever seen. the clearest demonstration of truth the world has ever seen and the world will ever see is the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ coming in the flesh was telling the world there is truth. And I know that even as I say that, that some will still remain skeptical. And what's amazing to think about for those who are is that you will meet him someday. There won't be any question, but you need to prepare to do that now. Second, this truth is transcendent. It is outside of us and this world. This is one of the lies of this ideological doctrine. For this purpose I was born. It's interesting to see what Jesus tells Pilate here. I don't think Pilate wanted to know this. I don't think he even asked, but Jesus, I'm going to tell you anyway. This is why I was born, and for this purpose I've come into the world. To bear witness to the truth. You know what he's telling Pilate? Pilate, my incarnation, the fact that God became human flesh, the fact that this happened and I came into the world, that was to bear witness to the truth. Jesus is the key witness in this trial. If you look at it from that perspective, he's the key witness. He's the witness that is going to win the entire case. The whole case rests on this witness. If he is true, if he's right, if what he says is exactly as he says it, then everything else hinges upon it because he is the truth. He's bringing light to the world. But what we see here is that truth came into this world from outside of this world. This is transcendent truth. You can't find this truth in human power. You can't find this truth in human structures. You can't find it in human systems because it's divine truth. It's heavenly truth. This truth is not socially situated. It doesn't lie within the hearts of the marginalized groups because they have access to it more so than anyone else. This truth is not best understood by first understanding the perspectives of the marginalized. This truth is revealed in a divine way by God himself, by the Holy Spirit of God, who opens our hearts and our minds to receive this truth. I want to encourage you, if this whole social justice ideology, if you're watching, you're here today, and maybe you're struggling with some of the things that I'm saying, I want to encourage you to stop looking for truth in your lived experience or in your marginalized group. This truth has come to us from outside of us, and it has come to us in love. You're not going to find this truth by looking inside of yourself because it is transcendent. And this is what Jesus is telling Pilate, as if he really wanted to know. But he's telling him anyway. He's telling all of us. Third, this truth, transcendent truth, provides meaning to life and the world. It provides meaning to life and to the world. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. For this purpose I was born. For this purpose I've come into the world. To bear witness to the truth. God had purpose. Purpose means or gives us meaning. It's not meaningless. He had purpose coming to his creation, coming to the world that he created, the people that he created. And that purpose included bringing meaning to life for all of us and meaning to this world that we're living in. Jesus is not ignorant of the injustices of this world and the fact that the world around us is broken. He gets that better than any one of us do. That's why he came, to redeem it. We're not going to find meaning by trying to create our own version of truth, by creating our own reality. We find meaning in life by knowing the truth, the person, and by allowing this truth, Jesus, to set us free. So this transcendent truth provides meaning to life and to the world. Fourth, this voice of truth should be known and heard above all others. Look at verse 37 again. Everyone who is of the truth. That's a really important phrase there. You might want to put it in parentheses, circle it, highlight it, do whatever it is you do to try to bring attention so the next time you read this, it stands out to you. Everyone who's of the truth listens to my voice. Let those words sink in. Everyone who is of the truth listens, hears. Here's what? My voice. My voice. The voice of Jesus. If there's no truth in this world, then there's no voice to listen to. There's no meaning and purpose in life. But there is absolute and objective truth. And those who believe this, who really believe, who trust with all of their heart, they hear. They hear him. They listen. They hear this voice of truth. And it is this voice they obey. It's his voice they follow. Because right now the voice of the media is loud. The voice of social media is loud. The voices of those who oppose truth are loud. They even outnumber those who uphold truth. But Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there that find it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are on that road. The voice of social justice ideology is louder than ever, but the question we all need to think about is, whose voice are you listening to? Whose voice are you listening to? Are you listening to the voice of the one who is the way, the truth, and the life? The truth? Can you hear the voice of the one who said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free? Can you hear his voice? Christians must be people of truth. Amen? Like, think, if nothing else, we must be people of truth. Truth needs to matter most. I think one of the saddest things that I have seen about what is happening in the Christian, among Christians with this whole political environment we're in, is that we as Christians, some of us are valuing our political ideology more than truth. So when the truth is on our side, we'll bring that up. When it's not, we just ignore it. But we're people of truth first. More than narrative. Again, I want to remind you, there is a clear ideology that is permeating our society and culture. I just explained a fraction of it to you. It's deceitful. It's organized. It's intentional. These things are not happening by accident. But don't worry, God is not asleep at the wheel. Amen? He's still on the throne. He's still God. He can still be trusted. But Christians, we must wake up and realize that our enemy, who is the father of who and what? Lies. Is using lies to spread this ideology. And it is an ideology that makes no apology for its rejection of truth. Yet, so many are just eating it up. Because it's filling your political ideology cup. Let's be honest, that's what's happening. On both sides. Christians need to be, no matter where you are, no matter what color, blue or red, if there's a blue issue and they're on the wrong side of truth, where should you be? With truth. If it's a red issue and the red is on the wrong side of truth, where should you be? With truth. That's not what's happening. But we're people of truth. So what must we do? What is our response? First, we must reject the lies the world is telling us. We have to reject lies as Christians. We have to do this. People of truth must reject lies. We cannot defend and justify lies just because they fulfill a certain ideology for us. Because if we're trying to listen to the voice of truth, we must reject lies. We must reject the voices of falsehood and lies. We must discern the difference between truth and narrative. We must discern the difference between good and evil being the same as narrative, victim, and villain, because they're not always the same. We have to be discerning, and truth and the scriptures must be our standard. Next, we must hold truth to truth as supreme, and we must be willing to face opposition in order for truth to reign supreme, because I think this is what we're going to be dealing with. Again, I want to repeat it. We're living in a society that has embraced a worldview that rejects objective truth. That's just, again, the water we're swimming in. And it vilifies those who pursue truth. So we don't need to be defending that way. We don't need, people of truth do not need to be justifying it. But with that ideology permeating our society, here we have Christians now who worship a Savior who has said he is the truth. Who said that his very purpose in coming was to bear witness to that truth himself. What are we going to do? We can't please both sides. We have to stand for truth, no matter where that leads us. And the reality is, for many of you, you're going to lose popularity. I think we're heading, I really do, I think we're heading to the place where it may cost you your job. Our church, we're going to face it. I'm talking about stuff that is, there'd be a lot of other stuff we could talk about in this book that would be a lot safer. But we have to be willing to stand for truth. We are going to have to stand against this and face whatever it is that comes our way as a result. Because again, what did Jesus say? Everyone who is of the truth listens to the voice of Jesus above all others. Let's listen for his voice in this culture where so many voices are spewing lies. We must hear the voice of our Savior above all. That's my prayer for you, for those of you listening, watching online, that we would be people of truth. That's what God has called us to. Let's listen for his voice. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we are just so desperate for your wisdom and discernment, for the Holy Spirit of God to give us boldness and courage to reject lies and to stand for truth. Help us to do that, Lord. Each and every person here, you know their story, you know their background, you know where they work, you know the people around them, you know how what we're talking about plays out in their life individually. You know every part of it. I pray, Lord, that each and every one of them watching through the live stream, joining us here in this room, would trust you with what that means for them. Lord, help us to be people of truth that hear you, that hear your voice speaking to us above all others. Help us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.